Well, today I'm going to talk a little bit about more about being an overcomer and how we should be living in today's world. And the first thing, I just want to remind you that I've started before with this James, from James 1, talking about humbly receiving God's word. And somebody said, when they were talking about receiving something, they said, I don't need to read a different book. I don't need to attend another seminar. I don't have to ask a friend about this. I need to obey what the Bible tells me to do. And right there in James 1:21, it says, lay aside all the things of the world and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. And when you say word, that can be an encompassing word that means Yeshua. He is the word. He is the truth. So if we receive him in our heart, if we have that, and we talked a little bit about the connection that we need. We need that. We need to be plugged into the right power source. It's just like plugging your computer into the socket over here. If it's not plugged into the right source, it's not going to work. And we do have a battery. You say, well, wait a minute. Sometimes we don't have the word. We don't have the Bible with us. We're faced with an immediate, some kind of a challenge. You do have, God gave us batteries. And God gave us the ability to remember and to hide the word in our hearts. So that is another important part about reading your Bible, because you just become charged up. When I talk about a battery, the battery is charged up. You become charged up by plugging into the right source. So, to begin with, I'd like Mark to open us up with a prayer.
Father Yahweh, thank you for bringing us all here today to study your word. As Bill continues to talk about what it's going to be like to be an overcomer, know that we are here to overcome the adversity that the devil and his agents place here on the earth today, and to spread your word. Yeshua came here to fulfill that word, and through your Holy Spirit, we ask that the guidance of the gift of the Holy Spirit come upon us all today as we study your word, Yeshua, and upon Pastor Bill, especially as he teaches that word. Mm-hmm. In Yeshua's precious name, amen. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. Today, we want to talk about the Christian's lifestyle. How do we live? How should we then live? That was a book written by Schaefer. What was his first name, honey? Was it Joshua Schaefer? Well, anyways, he's a great theologian.
Francis
Schaefer from Switzerland. The man is a beautiful Christian. His wife also. They've got several outreaches still today. I believe he's still living. I haven't heard or seen him lately. But anyways, let's think about what our calling is. And you see that. See that referenced in the Bible quite a bit about the Lord calling out, reaching out and talking to folks and telling them, hey, I'm going to empower you. I'm empowering you with this beautiful word, with the beautiful truth, but then I don't want you to just sit down and forget about it and drink your coffee and think about something else. The Lord said he wants us to reach out and talk to others and tell others why we feel the power that we do, why we feel that we are empowered. How can we feel strong, and how can we feel that we are victorious when all around us the world is falling apart? Everybody is having problems. Well, the Lord said you're going to have problems. He says it's not fact. I'm not going to take all these problems away from you. He says it's a learning experience. It's a process of growing in. It's a process of building up your faith. Lana, would you look up Hebrews? Do you have your Bible there? Hebrews 9:14. And then, Leah, Revelation 19:7. The Lord is preparing us, and we are called, we are the bride, His bride. And it's going to be a beautiful royal wedding. What does Hebrews 9:14 say? Lana, please.
How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our conscience from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God?
Okay, that's that thing about James that says, lay aside all filthiness, all things of the world that are contaminating and polluting. What does Revelation talk about there? 19:7. This is about the royal wedding, I believe.
Okay. The marriage in heaven.
The marriage in heaven.
Let us rejoice and be very glad, and let us give the glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife has made herself ready.
All right. We're the wife. The wife has made herself ready. That's my story here. We've got to make ourselves ready. Let's look out at 1 Peter. Lou, do you have your Bible?
No, I didn't. Okay. I forgot this morning. I left early enough.
Okay, there's one around there. But Mark, would you look up 1 Peter 2? Miranda, Romans 1. Romans 1. Marcus, verses 5 through 9, I think, is what I want there. About being... And this is the... We're talking about being called out. Yeah. Called out of this world. Yes, go ahead, Mark. 1 Peter 2, 5, 9. Does it have something about that?
This is in the New English.
Okay.
You yourselves, as living stones, are built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood and to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it says in Scripture, look, I lay in Zion a stone, a chosen and priceless cornerstone, and whoever believes in Him will never be put to shame. So you who believe see His value. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stumbling stone and a rock to trip over. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of His own, so that you may proclaim the virtues of the One who called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light.
Praise the Lord. I mean, that is an honorable thing.
That's right. I just read that scripture yesterday.
Yes. It's a beautiful scripture. Well, they're all beautiful, but this speaks to us about what our position is and will be even when He comes back, and we are going to rule with Him. We're going to be priests, and we're going to be teachers, and we're going to be His disciples. His apostles. We're going to be His apostles, basically. Romans. Okay, Romans 1, starting with verse 6, Miranda.
Verse 6.
What is that? How does that read?
And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Is
that 6? Yeah, 6 and 7.
Okay. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus.
Well, we are called out to be holy. We're called out to be saints.
Yeah.
We don't have to go. We can converse and present our situation to Yeshua and to Yahweh through the Holy Spirit. We don't have to go to some priest. We don't have to go to some big tabernacle. We don't have to go to a synagogue to have this kind of a relationship. And this little home church, just like they did back in the first century, back in the days with the early Christians, it's a very satisfying thing to our Lord. And we shouldn't feel like that we're second class Christians, or for sure we're not some sort of a cult. We don't talk about a different Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Yeshua. And he says, hey, I want to be called by my holy name.
Yeah.
Now, Romans 8, Mark, Romans 8, 28. Would you check that out real quick for us? And Lana, 2 Peter 1, 10. Dia, 2 Peter. Now, I want Lana to continue on the second. I'll go along with Ephesians, Leah. Ephesians 2. What do you find there what did I ask you? Romans 8, 28, Mark?
Romans 8, 28.
8, 28. Listen to this, guys.
And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose.
Called according to his purpose. We all know what his purpose is, don't we? Certainly. We know it's directly contrary and opposite to what Satan wants and what Satan wants to do to us. Satan wants to kill us. Satan wants to maim us. He wants to destroy us. He wants to deceive us. He wants to put us in a state of chaos. Just like the world, you talk to somebody, oh, I'm worried about this, I'm worried about this, I'm worried about this, I'm worried, 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 worried. You don't have to be worried. It's easy for me to say because I don't have a whole lot of worries. Now, some people have worries beyond what they think they have. Some people make a mountain out of a molehill. That's not to say that some small thing in your life cannot be very disturbing. It can be. But remember, we've been talking about patience. Remember, we've been talking about obedience. Remember, we've been talking about the fact that God has his time frame. His schedule, his ways, they're different from ours. He knows what you're faced. He knows what your problem is, and he wants you to be in constant conversation with him. And Lou, you are. I believe it. I feel that you are, and it's going to work out. It's a struggle. It's a real struggle right now, and we are going to be put through struggles. We can't forget Job. We just cannot forget the book of Job and what he's gone through. And we are not any different from any of these folks in the Bible. You can put your name in the book of Job. Any one of us. Remember that. And remember what happened at the end. Lana, 2 Peter 1. Lana, would you start with verse 5? And read through 10.
For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. And if you will receive, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. There's a lot there, isn't there, guys? Mm-hmm. There is so much there. You can read that. I'd suggest that you read that over during this coming week. And remember, it says in there, there is no condemnation. We don't have to worry about our past. It's over with. It's covered by His blood. Now, the thing that we've got to remember is that these mistakes and these things that happened in the past and that have been so burdensome, and they have constantly eaten away at us, those things have been forgiven, but we cannot repeat those kind of things. Some of those things, some of those actions, some of those reactions, some of the things that we did, some of the things that have been eaten away at us, they can come back to haunt us if we repeat any of these actions or any of these thoughts. It's a matter of even a thought that comes into your mind, you've got to reject it. You've got to know that God has taken it away. And He doesn't want us to remember it. He says, I forgot it, you forget it. But just don't go repeating these kinds of activities that have gotten you into trouble in the past. This is just a simple matter. Anything in this Bible is so simple. It's not any, you don't have to be a brain surgeon. You don't have to be, a space scientist to understand what He has for us here. It's as simple kinds of things, but we've got to absorb them. We've got to remember them, and we've got to use them. We've got to use them. We can't just talk about them. Talking about our attitudes. Our attitude is a big factor in how we are going to survive. How we are going to look at the things that Satan throws at us. Let's look in Philippians, Lana. Let's look...
What was the one in Ephesians 2?
Ephesians, oh yes. Okay, that was a good... Ephesians 2:10. Who had that one?
I did.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Good. What does that say?
For we are His workmanship, created in the Messiah Yeshua for good works, which Yahweh previously prepared that we should walk in them.
There you go. Good works. When we are attacked, which we are going to be, each one of us will be attacked. Each one of us will receive a nasty word from someone. We're going to receive a lot of things that we don't want to receive. But the answer and the turnaround is we've got to be careful how we react, what we do in response to an attack. Do we fight back? Well, we fight back with His word, yes. We fight back with Yeshua's presence and His power, His defense, the armor that we got right in Ephesians. Ephesians 6 gives us our armor. But the Holy Spirit does not want us to attack back. attack somebody else and to react with animosity, to react with a bad attitude, because that's just not him. We've got to react with his attitude. And his attitude is love, turn the other cheek. That's hard. It's hard to love, it says in the Bible, love your enemies. All of us have got neighbors that have been good, and then we've got neighbors that have been a challenge, that have been tough, that are still being tough. And that's a struggle. And that's where the rubber meets the ground, so to speak, when they say, hey, well, how are you? You're a Christian, and look at the way you act, and look at the way you talk, and look at the way you react to certain things. And I've heard you say this, and I've seen you do that. Well, we've got to be careful, don't we? We've got to be careful with our witness, because we want to have this testimony, and our testimony comes from the Holy Spirit, not from Satan. Satan wants us to be bad. He wants us to be nasty. He wants us to be just like everybody else in this world. And he says, I'll fix it. He says, I'll fix it. He'll tell you lies. You'll get some information and advice from Satan that will, it'll kill you. So we got to be very careful about that. Now, these attitudes, Philippians 2, who had Philippians 2? Did I give that to you, Lana?
Yeah, but I don't know, 2 what?
1, verses 1 through 3.
Okay.
What does that say?
If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with his spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete, and being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself.
That's hard. That's tough, because we know.
The New English says, be moved to treat one another as more important than yourself.
Yes.
Can all the congressmen read that?
Oh. We could send them an email.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
I know. That's the thing. Even those in our own family will attack us. As a matter of fact, we are hurt more deeply and probably more severely by those in our own family than those around us. So remember that. It's going to be that way. But let's remember what the Word says. What about meekness? Colossians 3. Who can look up Colossians 3 for me? Miranda, would you look up Philippians? The book of Philippians. That's in the New Testament, of course. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17.
Put on, therefore, as Yahweh's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving each other. If any man have a complaint against any, even as the Master forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of the Messiah rule in your hearts, to the which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of the Messiah dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, anthems, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to Yahweh. And whatever you do, in the word or in deed, do all in the name of the sovereign Yeshua, giving thanks to Yahweh the Father through him.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Philippians. Did you find Philippians?
Yeah.
Chapter 4, verse 8. What does verse 8 say? There.
Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
There you go. Those are the things to think about. Those are the things to model. Those are the attributes that we need to have. That's the way we should be thinking. And to further, to go along and to keep in the unity. Now, when we talk about harmony and unity, what are we talking about? We're talking about working together. We're talking about thinking the same kinds of things. And as a group and as a church, I am very thankful that we have an opportunity to get together and to be talking about the things that are important to Yeshua. It doesn't have to be something that's important to President Obama, or it's something that it's important to Governor Martinez. We're talking about things that would please and keeping in with the unity of the Spirit. Ephesians, Mark Ephesians 4:3. Could you read that for us? Lana, look up 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13:11. And Leah, Micah, the book of Micah, 6:8. Ephesians 4:3. Mark, what does that say?
Making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
All right. The unity of the Spirit. What Spirit? Not the spirits that are in this world. Not the spirits that are in the Indian people are talking to. Not the spirits that come from New Age and that come from Muhammad and Ali Krishna and all the rest of these guys that are dead and buried. Remember, guys, our Lord lives. That is the most important thing that you got to remember. All these other guys, they're praying, they're worshiping. What are they worshiping? Nothing. They're worshiping bones and dust and things that are completely evil and they're just transparent. They're nothing. What do you have there, Lana, in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11?
Finally, brothers, goodbye. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you.
There you go. How about Micah 6:8? What does Micah 6:8 say?
He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does Yahweh require of you, but to do justly and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your Elohim.
That's a beautiful verse. That's a beautiful verse. Read it one more time.
He has showed you, O man, what is good and what does Yahweh require of you, but to do justly, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your Elohim.
Yes, that's a great. They've written songs on it.
Yeah, that I learned.
Yes, they have. They have. Did I ask you for one? Did I give you one? No. Okay. I want to read one really quickly here. It talks about. Talks about our attitudes. This person says, what are you known for? This is in Philippians. And Philippians 2:25 says, Aphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier. That's what we are. We're this unity of the Spirit. Fellow workers, fellow soldiers. We're soldiers in Christ's army. This man, Epaphroditus, yeah, that's what it is, not Epaphroditus, was a spiritual brother in Christ. Listen, a faithful worker who shared the ministry, a brave soldier of the faith, a carrier of the inspired letter to the church at Philippi. And he modeled brotherhood, a good work ethic, spiritual endurance. That's what Lou needs right now, endurance, right? Spiritual endurance and service. And this is the kind of thing that people are looking for. And this is the kind of thing that we should be modeling. Things like dependability, care for others, encouragement to others, to your family, and wisdom. And you know where this wisdom is coming. It's coming right out of these books, this Bible. Not out of a lot of theological books that were written by some man, because a lot of men don't understand the truth. They've got a certain agenda, and they'll write a book about something, and you've got to be careful. You've got to be a fruit tester. You've got to have, one of the big things is discernment in our minds. You've got to be able to understand what is the truth and what is not the truth. And how do we do that? We do that by understanding what the truth said. And if it does not line up and it doesn't agree with what you've been reading in the Bible, forget it. Now, what does he require of us? Mark, would you look at Psalms 139? Leah, Psalm 147. Lana, Hebrews 3:13. On that Psalm 147 is verse 1. Mark is verse 2, or no, 23 and 24 on Psalm 139. Who's got their little reading? Miranda, would you look up Philippians again in the book of Philippians? Back to Philippians 3:14. 3:14.
Mark, Psalms 139, yes. 23 and 24.
Yes. What does that say?
Examine me and probe my thoughts. Test me and know my concerns. See if there is any idolatrous tendency in me, and lead me in the reliable ancient path.
He's asking. We should be asking the Lord every day. Search my heart. Am I doing anything? Am I thinking anything? Am I saying something that is going to grieve you? If it is, don't say it. Don't think it. Throw it away. Throw it away. Forget it. If you get into a state of agony or some kind of a situation where you don't know what to think, look, just read your Bible. That tells you what to think right there. Lana, what do you have? Do you have a psalm?
I have Hebrews 3.
Hebrews 3:13. What does that ask us to do?
But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness.
He always says, don't harden your heart. The people, the Israeli folks back in the day, they would harden their hearts. They were in Egypt. And then you read about their hearts and also the kings and all those people in control. They had hardened hearts. And they treated their people terribly, didn't they? And so we've got to be careful about this hardening of the heart thing. That means it's not just the opposite. It's not a soft heart. It's not a heart that loves. It's not a heart that receives these kinds of things and that turns around and gives you a warm response, a warm answer. We don't want to give a hard answer to people. You've got to be very careful, because you can turn people away from you and turn them off real quick if you condemn them and say, hey, I know your thoughts are terrible. I know you're thinking just the worst thing in the world, and you shouldn't be doing that. Well, let it use these scriptures that we're talking about here. And if somebody comes up to you and says something about that, say, well, I can understand how you feel. You must be having a bad day. You know, let's look at what my God says about this. Let's look at what Yeshua says about this kind of thing. And what does he say that how we should handle something? Every kind of a situation, problem in the world, there it's happened in the Bible. And there's an example in there of how we can answer and what we should be doing and how we should be doing it. What was the, did I give you a Philippians? I gave you a Psalm 147.
Yeah.
How does that read?
Hallelujah, for it is good to sing praises to our Elohim, for it is pleasant and praise is common.
These are the kinds of things that we should be doing daily. Singing praises. It says sing a new song. There's a group now, there's an evangelical group that is going to sing Saturday morning, the first day of fiestas. And the town has graciously allowed this group to sing, to open up the fiestas. And it's a Christian group. It's a members of anybody can sing. Anybody that wants to sing.
Yeah, got any singers here?
And so if you guys want to sing, we're practicing on Tuesday nights over at Nick Shields' church building. But anyways, I'm just using that as an example. It doesn't have to be in the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. You guys, you don't have to be professionals. The Lord wants us to sing praises. He wants us to be praying to Him and thanking Him and just talking to Him about our day and what we plan to do. But we got to ask Him, Lord, what do You want me to do today? Sometimes we say to ourselves, well, I'm going to do this today. And I'm going to ask the Lord to bless that. Well, sometimes it's a little presumptuous on our part because that might not be the thing the Lord wants us to do today. That might be not be the way the Lord wants us to approach a certain situation. We've got to be listening to that Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will tell us the truth. He's going to tell us how to react and what we should be doing. What do I have here? Hebrews 3:13. Does somebody have that?
Yeah, that's what I read.
Oh, you asked? Okay, yeah. You read that one. What was that again?
But encourage one another daily as long as it is called
today. Okay,
day.
Good. Yes. Okay, Philippians 3. Right.
3:14?
Yes, 3:14.
I press on toward the blessed name of Christ, for which God has called me heavenward to Yeshua.
I press on forward?
Yeah.
Okay. When we press on forward, who else has got it? Would you look that up in your
Philippians 3?
Yeah, what is it? Philippians 3:14. The idea here is focus. I press on. I've got a focus. I've got a goal. I've got an idea that I have got to press on with. When it says press on, you continue on. You go ahead with whatever is good. What? How does yours read on that, Mark? Is it any different? Philippians 3:14.
With this goal in mind, I strive towards the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
This goal. What is our goal? How do we accomplish our goal? We don't just think about it. No, we've got to act on it, don't we? We've got to get busy. We can't be lazy. A lazy person would read something and then say, well, yeah, maybe that might be an idea. I'll give it some thought someday. Well, that's not the idea. The idea is press on with it and get busy with it right now. Because today, guys, could be our last day on this earth. We might not be here tomorrow. It could be any number of things. Natural disasters. you know, you could get, I'm not going to go into any details on what could happen, but we may not be here tomorrow, so let's do it today. Now let's look at fruit. I talked to Psalm 92, Lana. Leah John, yeah. Leah John 15:5. Mark, would you look up 2 Corinthians 5? Nine. Who's got their little thing? Also, I know, Titus. Titus, Miranda. Titus. See if you can find that one. Titus 2. Chapter 2, verse 7. Okay. Who else? Who's got one here? Psalm 92. Who's got Psalm 92? Let's read. We're talking about fruit here, and what reference can you, you see something in reference to fruit in Psalm 92, honey? Second Corinthians 5:9, what does that say? Who's got that?
I have 2 Corinthians 5:9, and yeah. It says, so then, whether we are alive or away, we make it our ambition to please him.
Okay.
Oh yeah, I got it.
Pleasing him. Pleasing him by presenting him with first fruits. Lana, what is your... What?
The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock. And there is no wickedness in him."
Oh boy, he is my rock, guys. The rock, the fortress, the foundation, the cornerstone. You think of all kinds of references to the rock. What did Titus say?
It's Titus 7:8, because it goes to
it's Titus 2, verse 7. What does that say?
"In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us."
That's right. That's wisdom, guys. Integrity. Integrity. Your character. You know, this little thing guy said, if we take care of our character, if we watch out what we're saying and what we're doing, our reputation will take care of itself. In other words, that's the important thing we've got to be thinking about. Because that makes Yahweh happy when we're doing these things, when we're doing these things. We're reading these things now, aren't we? But we want to do these things. We want to use these things. We want to make sure that we just don't read it. We've got open ears. I'm hoping we got open ears. But we've got to have active feet. We've got to move. We've got to use our hands. We've got to use our minds. And if it's good, if it's wisdom out of the Bible, other people will understand it. That's why it's better when we try to explain something, we can use a reference in the Bible about that particular thing, because they say, well, so what? You don't. What do you know about it? Well, this is God talking. You know, this is Yahweh talking in here. That's who's talking. That's who's got the wisdom and the the kind of answers that we need. What did I ask you about?
This is John 15:5.
John 15:5.
"I am the vine, you are the branches. He that remains in me and I in him, the same bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing."
That's it. That's it. We're dead works. Our works, our righteousness, they're like filthy rags. But if we have absorbed and assimilated and had this, got this relationship, we are covered by his righteousness. And his righteousness is the best. It's the only thing that his Father recognizes. I want to just about close down. Got just a couple other things. James 4, Lana. And Miranda, how about Psalms 134? Look at Psalm 134. First of all, look at 133. Both 133 and 134, Miranda, will have references in there about what is pleasing and what we should be doing each and every day. And then I want to read something here. I wrote this down a long time ago when I was trying to think about what the Lord wanted me to do. And I wrote it down as my mission. And I wrote down, my mission is a call to true humility. In other words, we talked about humbleness, we talked about meekness, to live our lives responsibly, to deepen our devotion to the cross. Let us then be sober, moving only in the Spirit. The message that I'm to proclaim is repentance and forgiveness, the offer of salvation to a dying race of men. But here's the thing, to love my Lord Yahweh is the heartbeat of my mission, the spring, the cold fresh water from which our service overflows, either across the street or around the world. The mission is still the same. Let us burn to know Him deeper, to understand Him, and to find out what He wants us to be doing every day of our life. How about that Psalm? Let's see, what did I ask? Yeah, 134, 133. There's a business about in there about how we should be praising. Lifting up your hands. You see something in there about lifting up our hands and praising or singing praises? What do you see there that we should be doing? Does it give us any advice in there?
Which one do you want me to read first?
It's 133, if you've got that.
How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore.
The Psalms are so uplifting, guys. When we get sad, when we get depressed, read the Psalms, boy, they're so good.
And Psalms 134.
Yeah, 134, do you see something there?
Yeah,
read that, please.
Praise the Lord, all the servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift your hands up in the sanctuary of praise the Lord. May the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion.
The Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. Man, what a God, what a holy God. And the last thing that I might add is just a sort of a, the last thing is Matthew 6:34. Let's all look up
James
Matthew
4?
6. Matthew 6, verse...
What was James 4, huh? James 4?
Where was that? Did I ask?
James 4.
Okay, James 4, that's... submitting, yeah. What? Who got that?
I did.
Okay, James 4, read through 7, 7 through 10. Yeah.
Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Yes.
Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up.
Satan will run away from the Word. Guys, when Satan attacks you, read him the Word. I don't care whether it's Matthew, Genesis, Titus, Philippians, whatever. He cowers. He is a coward. And he can be defeated. You know, Matthew 6:34. Everybody, what do we got there? Everybody read that right around the room. 6:34. What does it say?
In the New English says, "So then, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Today has enough trouble of its own."
That's it. Is yours very similar to that, Leah?
"Be not therefore anxious for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil of it."
That's right. Is yours very similar to that?
Yeah.
Lana, is yours a little bit different?
"Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own."
That's right. Well, that's the same that I have. And that's what I say about living today, guys. We might not be around tomorrow. That doesn't mean, the last thing that I will say is, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't plan. That we shouldn't have some kind of a long-range goal. That we shouldn't have ideas, and we should even write them down. But we should be thinking about who can tell me what to do tomorrow. If I'm just going along in this boat, going down the rapids in the box or wherever, you know, we can talk about the rapids out here, because that's what we're doing every day. We're going over the rapids. We can get tossed out of that boat real easy, can't we? We can have an accident. There can be any kind of number of things. But if we are grounded and we have our life preserver on, we know what our life, who our life preserver is. We know where the answer is for plans. If we've got plans, we can't just go off half-cocked and try to do something without making some kind of a plan. So I'm not saying, you know, don't be concerned about it, but don't worry that it's going to be defeating. You're going to be defeated. And don't worry, the Lord says, don't worry about it, because I will be there. I'm always there. It's a promise. Boy, you can look in the promises and his promises. He is a promise keeper. He is the ultimate promise keeper. So if we believe and have the faith that he's going to take care of us, that's all we need. I think we'll end it right there. And let's join hands and have a closing prayer. Father Yahweh, we thank you for this time together. It's a small group, but you don't care. You brought who you want to be here today. And I know there's some folks that we miss them badly. And we know that they have challenges along with the rest of us. But we also know that you're going to take care of it. And so we're not worrying about it. We thank you for this group. We thank you for each person here. We ask for special blessings. We ask for you know each person's heart. Know what they need, and you will take care of them. We know that. We feel satisfied about that, and we thank you for that. We do pray for those that are not here, and special blessings on on them as well. And we thank you now and praying all these things in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
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 Amen.